We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News & World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And welcome to this week's Thoughtful Thursday. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Hacking Your Leadership and leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. On this Thoughtful Thursday, I want to talk about wage transparency.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about it.
All right. So New York City, this November, a couple months from now, there's going to be a law on the books that says if you have a job posted in New York City, that the pay has to be posted alongside it. Colorado did this last year. The culture, the zeitgeist, if you will, is moving towards this. There are a lot of places where the legislature is going to be passing laws that at least require some sort of wage transparency when it comes to job listings. But you know, this podcast is about leadership, not about compliance. And so when we talk about leadership, leadership is doing the right thing, even if the law isn't making you do the right thing. Now, is it the right thing to be completely transparent about wages when it comes to jobs? There is no one black or white right or wrong answer here. There's definitely nuance. And when the government steps in to make something happen, typically it's a result of is poor leadership in general as a whole in whatever that place is. And then they have to come in and say, all right, enough is enough. There's now a requirement. Now that might solve the issue from a standpoint of like what the people wanted, but it's going to create issues from a leadership standpoint because, you know, it might be above and beyond what would have had to happen had you just done something on your own. And in places where the leadership can kind of step up and do things on their own, oftentimes the government doesn't need to step in and do things for them, you know, because the problem gets solved you privately in amongst leaders. So I think this is the kind of thing where leaders have a real opportunity here to figure out how to work within this culture in areas where the law hasn't stepped in to make sure that they're doing right by their people and their candidates without necessarily causing massive issues for themselves in terms of wage transparency. What do you think about this?
Yeah, well, I think there's two things here. I think the first thing is I think it's good to have an element of transparency to realize like the work that people like that you currently do and the job that you might be looking at and having an understanding of does that make sense financially if you're even interested in a job? Like is it where you're at? Is it more than you make? Is it less than you make? Like that's just helpful in general. I think the real reason personally why this is kind of becoming a thing is because I think you had leaders of organizations that were underpaying people
right,
simply because they could. Right. So like if we know that this job, you know, starts at $40,000 a year and this candidate is currently making $25,000 a year because they filled out an application or they gave us information or we verified their background and we say, cool, we're going to give you a 20% raise to come to this new job. And that's, you know, $5,000 and now you're making $30,000. But the what we would have looked at was initially 50, or we say, great, we're going to pay you the bare minimum of 50 when there are people in the same exact role position that came from somewhere else that were already making 50. Now they make 60. Like, I think that the result of this is because choices were made to pay people less than they should have. And so I, to your point around leadership, it's like I don't see an issue with it at all. Personally, you and I have spent many hours, many years ago. I remember us like brainstorming this in a perfect place to say, right. As a matter of fact, we would be so transparent that we would tell you exactly what the starting wage is for every single job.
Yep.
And then we would actually have a formula that says based upon your years of experience, you'd get this much more education. You'd get this much more
languages spoken.
Languages. Yeah. We broke it all the way down to say like, not only do we think we should talk about pay, but we're going to show you exactly. So if you know somebody, you can do the math for them. You can see how much they make.
Yeah.
Because we also want to say that if you would like to make more money, then you either move into another role of expectation and ownership or responsibility, or you check off some of these boxes and then you would be compensated for the rest of the skill that you bring. And again, I know that was like dreaming many, many decades ago, it feels like.
Yeah.
But I think that I think it's a good thing for there to be more transparency about just what the jobs are, what they pay, what does that look like. And then I think that it's also helpful when it comes to maybe people making bad decisions to attempt to undercut people from a pay standpoint.
I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. Of course, I think it happens in a lot of places. I also think there's a less nefarious but also equally as impactful a way that this happens too. And that's that, you know, a long time ago, the idea of the annual 3 to 5% raise became a thing, you know, in a lot of organizations. And it was, you know, kind of taken or presented as a merit increase that you get every year when you go through your annual review or whatever it is. And if you did well, you accomplished your goals, then you got your 3% or 5% or whatever it was. The rate of inflation, the cost of living, you know, increases, you know, things like that can sometimes drive those costs or those wages higher faster than whatever the 3 to 5% annual rate is. And so you could have organizations where a person was hired in at that $40,000 a year. And over the course of 5 years doing that role, they got their 3% or 5% raise. But on that fifth year, someone comes in from the outside and they are hired in at $60,000 a year because that's what the going rate is. 5 years ago, it was 40,000. No one was being undercut or underpaid. It was the right thing to do then, and the 60 is the right thing to do now. But without a process in place to go back and address the fact that there are people in the organization making less, that will become problematic. And when and then people naturally will tend to think that a decision was made intentionally to underpay them rather than, no, at the time it was the right decision and now it's the right decision and the left hand doesn't talk with the right hand. There was nothing intentional in place and now you are the collateral damage of that. I think that happens just as often, if not more often, than a desire to undercut or underpay people. But again, it doesn't matter because it's the same result in terms of company culture, engagement, feeling valued by your organization. The result is exactly the same. So the leaders do have a responsibility to go through something that says that there is that thought is going into this every single year, that people are looked at every single year to figure out what the right thing to do is, as opposed to just kind of like set it and forget it, because culture changes, laws change, you know, what the expectation of your people are changes, and roles change. So what I want to ask you, Lorenzo, is have you been in a situation where you were interviewing somebody and the expectation of what the salary was for the role was just astronomically different than what you knew you could offer that person in either direction? Either they were you knew the job paid $100,000 a year and they were expecting 25, or vice versa. So I want to ask you that. But first I want to give it up to Word for one of our sponsors.
Okay. Round two, name something that's not boring.
A laundry. Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire. Huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Lorenzo, have you ever been talking to a potential candidate for a job and the expectations of the organization you represented versus what their expectations were of salary were vastly different in either direction? And if so, how did you address that, or how did you react to that?
It's happened a few times. And typically, it's happened when people apply for roles where they're not exactly sure, again, where the level of the job is. And especially when you work in organizations that have multiple layers of leadership.
Right.
There's an assumption that the title of this is the same as the title somewhere else. So if
sure.
I say that
a director's a director.
Exactly. A manager's a manager, a director's a director, right?
Yep.
And so that's what happens sometimes. People maybe apply for a job where they're currently compensated at a certain level, and then that compensation is different, even though the titles are the same, you know, in that experience. And I think that, you know, over time, especially when it comes to like leadership candidates, I think I've been fortunate to work for organizations where we typically are competitive or lead from a compensation standpoint. So many times people that we are hiring at all levels of the business is either comparable to what they're currently making or more. And that makes it a little bit easier, I think, in some of that dialogue. It's usually when it comes to leadership candidates.
Sure.
Whether they bring it up or I say like, hey, you know, in our conversation, just so I'm aware, are there any compensation expectations that you have. Like, is there anything top of mind for you that you're considering or thinking about? Because, of course, the law says, you know, you can't ask what people make, but I can ask you if there's anything that you're considering or thinking that you might want to, you know, might want to share. And many times people will share kind of what their thoughts are, what they're looking for. And in those cases, I say, okay, I said, well, like, let me provide you some more context. So if you're looking for that level of salary, right, then a role that we would have here would be really at this kind of level. Sure. Right. Like, this is the type of role that you would be looking at that would meet your kind of compensation thoughts and expectations at the correct title or level that we have here at the organization. And then I'll also typically then share that at that level, let me also say, like, in people that typically get those jobs, I'll share with you kind of what does that competition look like? What are other organizations, other roles, people that may have come in externally most recently that are in those types of roles? What were their previous jobs? Just so that you kind of have an idea of what does that look like and what is, you know, what's kind of the industry saying at that level of skill that's coming in. So it's an education moment for me. There have been many times where I'm having a conversation with somebody and they're like, hey, you know, also, like, this is where I'm at and I would like to at least stay close to that. I could probably go down a little bit, but I'd like to be here. And then in my brain, I'm saying my minimum is 30% more than that right now.
Right.
Like, there's not, like, I can't even pay you that. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my head. So in those conversations, I tend to stay with, like, saying, like, look, that is well within our capability. Let me be clear, you know, an opportunity here with this organization, that's not a problem whatsoever. And our minimums are actually slightly more than that. So, you know, I want you to know that just like if you were to get an offer here, that's not an issue. Because I get, like, that's really what I think the question is like the concern of, can, like, will I be able to make this much because I have these responsibilities? And I want to kind of, like, you know, squash that right away. But then I also look at job offers and I look at experience and skill and where people are at and what they bring. And again, in comparing kind of best in industry, that's where I'm making my decision on where people should be. So just because somebody is at a certain pay rate and that's much lower than maybe a minimum, that doesn't by default say that they just get the minimum. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's other factors that may be involved there, especially if I've had other people that have come into the organization with similar skills, similar backgrounds. So there's more dialogue to have, but that's more of an internal dialogue. When it comes to the conversation with the candidate, I just share the confidence that would not be an issue.
There's a couple of things at play here that I think are going to be really important to address. One, when the issue of compensation comes up for the first time, when a candidate and a person they're talking to from an organization, when compensation first arises, chances are the person from the organization answering the question is not the person that gets to decide on what this person's compensation is going to be. They're a screener at the beginning. They don't get to make the job offer or decide what this offer is going to be in terms of compensation. They just know what the pay range is of the position, and so they can't really say this is what you would be making. They don't have the authorization, the authority to do that. The second thing is when a range of a job is posted. This job makes between $50,000 and $60,000 a year. There is a psychological tendency for most people to assume that their level of experience and qualifications earn them the 60, not the 50. Some people come in with a very unrealistic expectation of what they would get from the negative standpoint. Some people might say, oh, I would probably only deserve the 50, when maybe they deserve the 60 or vice versa. But the likelihood of their own opinion and impression of themselves being identical to what the organization would consider of them, of that being the same, is really unlikely. There's likely going to be a gap there. And so posting a range can be problematic for organizations because of that inherent psychological issue. The other thing too is I get why an organization wouldn't want to post what a job pays in the initial listing. I know that if I'm expecting $80,000 for a job and I see a job that looks like it would be right up my alley and it says the pay range is $60,000 to $70,000 a year, I'd be like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not applying there because I expect 80. But maybe that organization would want me to apply and they go, oh my gosh, you'd be a perfect fit for this organization. You know, we can only give you the 70 right now, but we can get you the 80, you know, within 6 months, or we can give you some more responsibility than what the job actually says that it makes. And we can give you the 80 to start because we can work with you. A lot of organizations don't want to have candidates self-select out because they don't think that they will be able to make what they're expecting to make. So I get that idea of not wanting to be forthcoming with it in an application. But you need to be able to be at least forthcoming with it in the initial interaction with a person from a voice-to-voice or face-to-face standpoint, because you don't want to be wasting their time either. It's not the right move to waste people's time when it comes to going through an interview process. And when I hear things like, you know, people saying that, oh, you know, we want people who are not driven by money. So if you want to talk about compensation right now, then you might not be the right fit for this organization. Get the heck out of here. That's not driven by money. I want to pay my bills does not mean I'm driven by money. It means I want to make sure that we're not wasting each other's time here. So there's a both here. And again, if leaders can navigate these waters in a way that works with people, I think we're less likely to see a more heavy-handed approach by legislatures coming in saying, you must do this.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And have a great day.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.